cold and sweating. A combination he wouldn't have thought possible. Bean went into the toilet stall and closed the door. The pain in his abdomen was fierce, but he couldn't get his bowel to loosen up and let go. What am I so afraid of? Finally, his alimentary system triumphed over his nervous system. It felt like everything he'd ever eaten flooded out of him at once. "Time's up," said Nikolai. "I'm coming in." "At peril of your life," said Bean. "I'm done, I'm coming out." Empty now, clean, and humiliated in front of his only real friend, Bean came out of the stall and wrapped his towel around him. "Thanks for keeping me from being a liar," said Nikolai. "What? About your having diarrhea?" "For you, I'd get dysentery." "Now that's friendship." By the time they got to the gym, everybody was already in their flash suits, ready to go. While Nikolai helped Bean get into his suit, Wigan had the rest of them lie down on the mats and do relaxation exercises. Bean even had time to lie down for a couple of minutes before Wigan had them get up. 06:56. 4 minutes to get to the battle room. He was cutting it pretty fine. As they ran along the corridor, Wigan occasionally jumped up to touch the ceiling. Behind him, the rest of the army would jump up and touch the same spot when they reached it. Except the smaller ones. Bean, his heart still burning with humiliation and resentment and fear, did not try. You do that kind of thing when you belong with the group. And he didn't belong. After all his brilliance in class, the truth was out now. He was a coward. He didn't belong in the military at all. If he couldn't even risk playing a game, what would he be worth in combat? The real generals exposed themselves to enemy fire. Fearless, they had to be, an example of courage to their men. Me? I freeze up, take long showers, and dump a week's rations into the head. Let's see them follow that example. At the gate, Wigan had time to line them up in tunes, then remind them. "Which way is the enemy's gate?" "Down," they all answered. Bean only mouthed the word. "Down. Down, down, down." "What's the best way to get down off a goose?" "What are you doing up on a goose in the first place, you fool?" The gray wall in front of them disappeared, and they could see into the battle room. It was dim. Not dark, but so faintly lighted that the only way they could see the enemy gate was the light of Rabbit Army's flash suits pouring out of it. Wigan was in no hurry to get out of the gate. He stood there surveying the room, which was arranged in an open grid with 8 stars, large cubes that served as obstacles, cover, and staging platforms, distributed fairly evenly, if randomly, through the space. Wigan's first assignment was to C-Tune, Crazy Tom's tune, the tune Bean belonged to. Word was whispered down the file. "Ender says slide the wall." And then, "Tom says flash your legs and go in on your knees. South wall." Silently they swung into the room, using the handholds to propel themselves along the ceiling to the east wall. "They're setting up their battle formation. All we want to do is cut them up a little, make them nervous, confused, because they don't know what to do with us. We're raiders. So we shoot them up, then get behind that star. Don't get stuck out in the middle. And aim. Make every shot count." Bean did everything mechanically. It was habit now to get in position, freeze his own legs, and then launch with his body oriented the right way. They'd done it hundreds of times. He did it exactly right. So did the other 7 soldiers in the tomb. Nobody was looking for anyone to fail. He was right where they expected him to be, doing his job. They coasted along the wall, always within reach of a handhold. Their frozen legs were dark, blocking the lights of the rest of their flash suits until they were fairly close. Wigan was doing something up near the gate to distract Rabbit Army's attention, so the surprise was pretty good. As they got closer, Crazy Tom said, "Split and rebound to the star. Me north, you south." It was a maneuver that Crazy Tom had practiced with his tune. It was the right time for it, too. It would confuse the enemy more to have 2 groups to shoot at, heading different directions. They pulled up on handholds. Their bodies, of course, swung against the wall, and suddenly the lights of their flash suits were quite visible. Somebody in Rabbit saw them and gave the alarm. But C was already moving, half the tune diagonally south, the other half north, and all angling downward toward the floor. Bean began firing. The enemy was also firing at him. He heard the low whine that said somebody's beam was on his suit, but he was twisting slowly and far enough from the enemy that none of the beams was in one place long enough to do damage. In the meantime, he found that his arm tracked perfectly, not trembling at all. He had practiced this a lot, and he was good at it. A clean kill, not just an arm or leg. He had time for a second before he hit the wall and had to rebound up to the rendezvous star. One more enemy hit before he got there, and then he snagged a handhold on the star and said, "Bean here." "Lost three," said Crazy Tom. "But their formation's all gone to hell." "What now?" said Dag. They could tell from the shouting that the main battle was in progress. Bean was thinking back over what he had seen as he approached the star. "They sent a dozen guys to this star to wipe us out," said Bean. "They'll come around the east and west sides." They all looked at him like he was insane. How could he know this? "We've got about one more second," said Bean. "All south," said Crazy Tom. They swung up to the south side of the star. There were no rabbits on that face, but Crazy Tom immediately led them in an attack around to the west face. Sure enough, there were rabbits there, caught in the act of attacking what they clearly thought of as the back of the star, or, as Dragon Army was trained to think of it, the bottom. So to the rabbits, the attack seemed to come from below, the direction they were least aware of. In moments, the six rabbits on that face were frozen and drifting along below the star.